AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
We are wrapping up our coverage from Top Producer Summit with a bang. We'll talk with some of the best operations that made their way to Nashville, where they are learning just as much from everybody else here as we're learning from them. Yeah, it's that kind of a meeting.
Live from ongoing coverage of the big event in Nashville via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Farmer Forum extended remix with panelist, Top Producer Award winner, Horizon Award winner, Trailblazer Award winner, and right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, man. Welcome to Nashville, buddy. How are you?
Oh, so excited to be here, there, virtually, where I
am.
Yes.
Where
yes.
I physically am. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. This is good. I always look forward to this meeting because of the willingness of the participants here to share. To share what they know. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have conversations, not just with the Top Producer of the Year award winner. We've got another finalist that's going to stop by and have a conversation with us. These operations, and like I said, it's not just the award winners. It's everybody mm-hmm. here is so willing to share what they know and share the knowledge to help people advance what they're doing, whether it be in how to grow a crop, how to run their business, how to manage family relations. It all comes into play down here, man. And it is, you know how I get when I get around these people, Davis. I'm going to come home all wound up and mm-hmm. rejuvenated with my batteries fully charged and ready to go.
Positively giddy. Now, here's where my mind goes. When you talk about all the sharing going on down there, perhaps are there, you know, like maybe some blonde brownies, perhaps a little casserole that somebody's willing to share with you? I mean, anything along those lines?
You mean like food?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if there's one thing farm country is known for, it's the food.
That's right. Well, it is Nashville. I mean, yeah, the food is good.
Good.
Big Apple Joe and I had a delicious meal last night down on Broadway.
That sounds lovely. That sounds lovely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was very good. Very good. All right. I'm really looking forward to the rest of the show. We're going to bring in a really diverse group of people. I'm looking forward to this. Let's go ahead and get started.
A cavalcade of producers, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
The Labor Department on Tuesday said the Producer Price Index, which generally reflects supply conditions in the economy, rose a seasonally adjusted 1% in January from the prior month. That's the sharpest rise since May 2021. The gain reflects pandemic-related disruptions from the Omicron variant of COVID-19 at the start of the year, and continued strength in consumer demand. Meanwhile, producer prices rose 9.7% on a 12-month basis, nearly the same as the prior month. Tuesday's numbers are the latest sign that inflation has not yet peaked. Chip.
Yep. Those costs for the producer are, they don't pay for them, Davis. I don't know if you do this or not, but if it costs a producer more to make whatever they make, they mm-hmm. typically pass that cost on to the consumer.
Pass
I don't
it
know
on
if you
down.
Knew that or not.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm becoming
that's how
aware.
It's working. Everybody is becoming aware of that one. Yep.
Well, digital assets could soon threaten global financial stability, according to a report this morning from the Financial Stability Board set up by the G20 in the wake of the financial crisis. The report highlighted the scale of the asset class, increasing interconnectedness with traditional finance, and its structural vulnerabilities. Chip, Bitcoin remained mostly unmoved by the release of the report, with the largest cryptocurrency holding above 44,000 this morning.
Okay. All right. I'm almost embarrassed to say this. I still don't understand it.
I don't either.
I still don't get the cryptocurrencies.
We need to get some crypto dudes on the show, maybe.
We do. You know what? I know a couple of guys that say they can explain it to me. We'll get them on, and we'll talk about it on the air.
All right. Sounds good. Well, the Biden administration has signaled to Congress that it wants $30 billion in additional COVID aid, according to the Washington Post. The request is expected to include new money for testing, vaccines, and therapeutics, according to reports. The White House has not said when they expect this package to get through Congress. Can we spend away a pandemic, Chip? That seems to be a theme here emerging.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if it all goes to testing, vaccines, and therapeutics, if they spend most of it on the therapeutics, I'm going to get all in on this. Just saying.
Well, Senate Republicans refused to attend a committee vote on President Biden's nominees to the Federal Reserve over a disagreement with Democrats on one of the candidates, delaying the confirmation of all five picks, including Jerome Powell. I don't know what the kerfuffle is here. I bet Wiesmeyer might know. We'll find out maybe later this week.
Yeah, we'll talk to him on Friday about that. Yep.
China says it can reduce its soybean demand by 30 million metric tons by continuing to promote lower soy meal rations and feed and using alternative proteins, according to the official news agency Xinhua. Among the top 33 feed companies in China, soy meal rations averaged 11.8%, a decrease of 1.6 points from the previous year. China has said boosting soybean production will be a, quote, major political task.
Chip is checking market soybean meal. $448.60 a ton. That will buy you all kinds of stories about how we're going to reduce meal consumption out of China.
Boom. We should probably get to Margie, but the U.S. trade rep is looking at China's WTO compliance. CCC is back up. GT Thompson is unhappy with it. And Ukrainian Defense Ministry and two of the largest banks hit by cyber attacks, according to a statement. Moscow has not claimed responsibility. Chip.
Of course they haven't. Not yet.
This is not a comedy bit. None of this is a bit.
I know. Like I said, I mean, my batteries might be just a bit recharged. Let's bring Margie in and do a test of this. Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. How are you?
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
Bear and the force majeure is a big topic of conversation down here. What do we know?
So we know that it affects their glyphosate supply. One of their component suppliers had a mechanical failure, which they think will be resolved in the next 3 months. They say overall their annual volume of glyphosate production will not be greatly affected, but it's the timing that I think is causing that conversation down at Top Producer Summit.
Yep.
You know, we've talked about this theme when it comes to concerns about crop inputs for the past year and a half, and that is taking possession of what you need is key. And that is true today. This kind of another black swan event highlights that farmers should call their retailers and have conversations with them now. You know, we just saw that this news broke. I saw it made its way on Twitter by the weekend, and we were able to start confirming some details. We'll continue to watch how it plays out. And then, Chip, right before we came on air, I got an email saying that there may have been an error made at the U.S. Trade Office when it comes to actually doing different tariff codes, and that could be putting on an additional 25% increases on glyphosate prices for that product that is imported. So we will continue to report, but there is a lot breaking even as I was coming on air this morning.
Yeah, Margie, if you get an update on that for tomorrow, let's get you back on again tomorrow and talk about what's going on with the tariff rates, okay?
We'll continue to tag team this developing issue. Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Margie. That's Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. We're going to be talking with Top Producer of the Year award winner next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Authority Supreme Herbicides from FMC. Learn more at ag.fmc.com.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk and Top Producers Summit. I am your host, Chip Flory, and we couldn't be doing this if it wasn't for our sponsors. And right now, we need to make time for an industry spotlight. Joining us is Mitch Evanston. He's the founder and CEO of Meristem Crop Performance. Mitch, welcome. Thank you so much for sponsoring us down here.
Well, good to be here, Chip. Great to be in Nashville.
Absolutely. It's a fun time down here, and it's been a great meeting, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about the business model. What is Meristem, and what does it do for farmers?
Meristem's a crop input additive company. We focus in the additive space, which would include biologicals, seed treatments, adjuvants.
Yeah.
Foliar nutrition, nitrogen stabilizers.
All right. What's been the biggest talking point with the growers down here in Nashville?
Oh, without question, a product we have on the market called Excavator.
Okay.
Excavator eats plant residue, stock
okay.
residue.
Yeah.
And releases a tremendous amount of nutrition, can wipe out a tillage pass, really cleans up that trash in your field. A lot of agronomic benefits as well as tillage benefits. It's been a hit down here.
So how have you brought this product to market? Has it been just here it is down the traditional path, or how are you doing it?
Well, Meristem doesn't go to market through the traditional channel, Chip. We have an alternative path to market. We take out a lot of the traditional steps in the supply chain, and in so doing, we take out a lot of cost associated with that supply chain.
Okay.
So when we take products to market, we take them to market through local partners where we can gain supply chain efficiencies, get closer to the farmer, and drive costs out.
That's outstanding. It's very cool. Stick around. We're going to talk more with you here in just a little bit, okay?
Thanks.
All right. That is Mitch Evanston, founder and CEO of Meristem Crop Performance. We'll learn more about it as we go through the show today. All right. Right now, we are going to have a conversation with Todd
Malika.
With Todd Malika. He is the winner of the Top Producer of the Year Award. Congratulations, Todd.
Well, thank you, Chip.
I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you're here. Hey, you guys, come on over. Sit down. Get in here. We'll get you into the conversation as well. So, Todd, let's start with just a little bit about your operation. Tell us about it. Where is it located? What kind of... Give us the 30 seconds.
We are located in central Minnesota.
Yep.
We have a family of seven. Of the seven, five are currently on payroll. We have other key managers, but we focus on dairy.
Yep.
We focus on crop, just corn, beans, alfalfa. And we have a custom manure pumping business. We do a fair amount of custom work when it comes to straw baling, chopping, and then we also do some type 4 work, which is working with some industrial waste.
There's a reason that you call your farm an enterprise, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot
that's
of
so
moving
we can,
parts.
Yeah, we can do enterprise analysis, so we know our numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to... The award is for the job that you do running your business. But instead, I want to talk about values and mission because I know how important it is to you, Todd.
Yes.
It's at the core of your operation.
It is. And so, if I may, you know, like we have eight values. And number one, and we hire on values. And... We do our appraisals on values. So our number one value is, you know, this is what you have to have. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we've spent days, weeks, and years identifying these values. They're so simple, and we have eight of them. Number one is drive. You have to have drive, okay? This is who we are. You have to be a responsible individual. You have to possess candor, okay?
Yep.
You've got to be able to articulate your words. We've got to have trust. We need to trust that you're going to do the right thing. And most importantly, we work a lot of long hours, so fun. Fun is one of those values.
It's got to be included.
Yes, sir. Yep. And above all, we've got to have integrity, okay? And then we have to have empathy. We have to understand how and know how our customer is feeling in order to do a proper job. But my favorite one, and it kind of sums up all of them, is the commitment to Can I. Can I is constant. It stands for constant and never-ending improvement. Yep. I mean, we're always moving. Things are changing. It's so important.
How many kids have you got involved in the operation?
We have 7.
And how bought in are they to your value statement?
You know, the 5 of them that work for us, 100% bought in, because this is us.
Yeah.
This is who we are, and this is what drives us in our company.
This really cool. Really cool, Todd. I'm going to bring a couple other into the conversation right now. It's Brendan and Elaine Martin. They are the Horizon Award winners. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You want? We were talking with Todd about staying busy. Brendan, good Lord, man. You guys are busy in your operation, aren't you? Tell us about it.
Yeah, we try to stay busy. we have a farm. We raise mama cows, and after that, the calves will go
through Virginia,
a feeding
right?
phase.
Yep,
in Virginia.
Okay.
Yep, the calves will go through a feeding phase. We'll retain ownership on part of them and keep them through the finishing phase. And the other part of them will sell as load lots so somebody else can feed them depending on the market.
Gotcha.
We also have a large animal vet business I'm part of. I have another veterinarian that works with us and a team of girls there helping at the office. And do a little bit of custom work through the summer.
See, that was the part of the story when I saw the video the other night, was when I stopped and I looked at the people around me and I go, he's a vet too? It's so, okay, continue, sorry.
Yeah, and in the summer, when the middle of the summer when it's 90 degrees and nobody's working cows, we end up doing some custom hay baling. We help them custom chopping crew. There's a lot of beef and dairy in our area, and so forage is kind of a key component of our area as compared to row crops.
Yep. And Elaine, you started a business off of the retained ownership on the beef, right?
Right, yeah. We see a lot of value in that end product.
Move that mic up. There you go.
Yep. So we see a lot of value in that end product. That's how we breed our cattle on carcass genetics. And so, we've always kind of sold halves and quarter beef. And I thought, let's go ahead and expand this business and make ourselves a little bit more busy. And so we started boxing up individual cuts, and I ship it on dry ice across the U.S. And, it's been a great opportunity. So,
One of the things that I love to talk with cattlemen about is a very simple question. Do you raise cattle or do you raise beef?
Sure.
In your case, you guys are clearly raising beef. That's your mindset and your attitude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So, Todd, when you see these guys, the Young Horizon Award winners, and you look back when you were getting started, what kind of similarities do you see?
Just, it's the passion.
Yeah.
It's passion. That's what I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And from a business perspective, the way that these guys are diversified, I mean, it's kind of your story from the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A lot of times, we diversify out of need. All of a sudden, I want that, I want to be able to do that process myself on the farm instead of hiring because you can make sure it can happen at a timely point. Well, all of a sudden, that just morphs into another enterprise, larger. But it's important to always know your numbers.
Oh, yes, it is. You don't do anything for free, do you?
No, sometimes you end up making mistakes and you learn from it. But it's important to look at folks that have a similar situation, just like you guys, and be able to learn and see that diversification helps you keep from going broke and have more drive and fuels our fire.
Yep. Now, Elaine, did you see me look at you when Todd mentioned that one of the things on their value statement is the empathy and understanding those around you? What have you learned from the direct-to-consumer that builds that empathy for the consumer?
Yeah, just creating relationships and talking with the consumer. That's a huge part. They just want to know what we do on our business or on the farm of, you know, how we raise cows. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of media out there that can be negative to the farmers aspect of why we do what we do. But just having a conversation. I try not to take anything too wrong. They ask some question. I just, you know, share what we do and why. And it's amazing how interested they can become and understand, oh, well, that makes sense why you do it. And it's great. So,
yeah. That we're almost out of time.
Sure.
But what kind of hurdles have you had to cross to do this direct to consumer?
Yeah, the shipping game is a massive problem that I still haven't figured out entirely. But the rise in cost of shipping and products and getting that perishable product out the door and working with so many outside factors out of our control has been a challenge. But the consumers have been really great to work with us. So
that's kind of the key. Things beyond your control that we've got to deal with. All right. Hey, stay with us, everybody. We are talking with Todd
Malika.
Malika. Every time I look at that name, I can't say it. Todd,
just don't
Todd
look at it.
Malika. Good grief. And Brendan and Elaine, the Horizon Award winners.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And joining us now, ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Beege, getting back some of yesterday's losses, huh?
Yeah, so the soybean market recouped all or most of yesterday's losses. What we're seeing is that the May and July contracts are leading us up there. March is actually the follower today, and option expiration on Friday, and so that's some of that, I believe. But, good price recovery in the soy complex. Outside markets are price supportive. Crude oil is up over 250 this morning. The commodity sector as a whole is strong, and so really that's fueling some of that buying interest in the soy complex.
All right. The whole Russia-Ukraine thing, is it still the headliner?
Oh, I don't know. It remains in the headlines. Putin and Ukraine continue to say that they'll talk and that things aren't imminent. And it seems like the U.S. and the allies keep pushing the narrative that it is imminent and something's going to happen. Yeah. And so it's a weird situation, to be honest with you.
It is.
A lot of headlines on the thing back and forth. It's mental ping pong at this point in time.
That's a good way of putting it, absolutely. All right, take us over to the livestock trade. We've got April hogs above 105.
Yeah, so the hog market just continues to charge higher here. So we had the brief corrected pullback just a couple days late last week and coming out of it. Good strong market just remains well supported from a fundamental standpoint. Cattle market seeing some strength because of firmer cash cow trade that's starting to come in roughly around the $142 level.
All right, thank you, Brian. That's ProFarmer editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Find farm equipment on Machine Repeat's February 22nd online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerepeat.com.
All right, welcome back to Nashville and Top Producer Summit. This is AgriTalk, and we are having a conversation with some of the award winners. But first, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us again, Mitch Eviston. He is the founder and CEO of Meristem Crop Performance. One of the big conversations down here, Mitch, is the big increase in input costs and fertilizer costs in particular. Help us out. How does Meristem help us out on that?
Well, when you think about the fertilizer industry and the prices we're seeing today, you know, traditionally farmers spend between 20 and 25% of their revenue each year on fertilizer.
Yep.
With high commodity prices, we're back to, we're still at 20 to 25%. Yep. That typically will not change until revenue per acre comes down, because fertilizer is typically going to get about 20 to 25% of the revenue per acre.
Yep.
The way you address that, and where companies like Meristem can help, is biologicals.
Okay.
There's competition out there for the traditional fertilizer industry, and it's available in biologicals.
Yeah.
And Meristem's not the only provider of this, these technologies, but these technologies are having a tough time finding their way into the market, but they're an opportunity to significantly reduce your spend in fertilizer. And when you bring technology to market that will drive that reduction in fertilizer, the natural response is going to be a decreased price in fertilizer.
Right.
So the best way to drive down fertilizer prices is competition. Farmers have done it for years with manure. I'm telling you, there's more than manure as an option out there. There's biologicals.
Right.
The more competition, the better the pricing.
Real quick, tell us about that product, Excavator, again.
Excavator is a stock decomposition product. It eats all the carbon out of your plant residue. When you do that, you mineralize back into the soil, typically in the range of 30 units of nitrogen, about 20 units of phosphorus, and about 40 pounds of potassium. You look at that in today's farm economics, you're looking at $60 to $100 of replacement value that you can get out of your stock residue.
Very cool. Where do we go to learn more about that, Mitch?
Go to www.meristemag.com.
Meristemag.com.
You got it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate all you're doing for us down here. All right, that is Mitch Evanston. He is the founder and CEO of Meristem Crop Performance. All right, Todd Malika.
Yes, sir.
All right, I got it. I think I'm getting it. And Brendan Martin, the Horizon Award winner. And we've got Elaine back with us, too. That's great. Okay, Todd, what are you taking home with you from Top Producer Summit?
You know, that there's a lot of producers
other than
here.
A really cool jacket and a nice plaque. Okay.
Yeah, you know, there are the passionate people here.
Yeah.
The people are passionate about agriculture. But they're passionate about their business is what I'm taking away. So a lot of passionate, good people are here.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, when we were talking in the last segment about going direct to consumer, did I hear you during the break to say that you're doing some of that too?
We are exploring it. We are exploring going direct to this consumer. You know, Chip, our primary question in life is with our business is how can we add value to other people's lives? And you know, with that being said, it's about telling a story and adding value to other people's lives. So yes, we are exploring doing other things to, you know, I mean, my goodness, I've got five kids, but you know, I have to be honest with you, we don't plan on having any more. But we do have 14 grandkids.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of interest. And so
you
we're
talk
trying,
about Louise, yep, because she's a real partner in your operation.
Oh, yeah. You know, you talk about passion. So part of her
your
legacy.
Wife. I should
explain
that.
Yeah. And she is just a dedicated person to the dairy, HR, family. And but she wrote a book, and you know, it's part of her legacy. And what it was is she was really disappointed in the children's books explaining agriculture. You know, you'd look at it as a farmer and you'd say, well, that's not right, that doesn't happen. And so all of a sudden she just says, wow, I want to write a book. So she wrote a book. And my daughter, Caitlin, who has graduated from marketing and design college, she illustrated the whole book. So, and what's cool about it, Chip, is we've got augmented reality in this book. So you can take your smartphone and you can take and, like, it's almost like a QR code and you can scan it. And all of a sudden, it brings you to them feeding calves or feeding the cows. And it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. She's got another book coming out, and
you want to you talk about guys telling the sustainability story. That's an awesome way of doing it.
Yeah, and it's so cool because she has pictures there. You know, again, farm safety is key. You know, we've all known people who have taken and gotten hurt or killed. You know, that's the bad thing. But, you know, on the positive thing, it's about showing and teaching this young generation about how we care for and how we take care of our animals. Because the bottom line, from a business standpoint, we don't do that. We have nothing.
Yeah.
We have to take care of what we have.
You've got to talk with the consumer, don't you, Elaine?
Right. Yep, I agree.
Absolutely. All right, Brendan, same question to you. What are you going to take home with you from Top Producer?
I think our business is young enough compared to some of the folks that are a few more years in it that we can look at some of the advice they've given us and some of the pathways they've broke through to be able to see how to help us, give us some advice, build connections, just like I talked about with the internships, how it was important for us, building relationships.
Talk
with somebody
more about
that, we can
that right now,
to.
Because it was so cool how committed you are to the internships.
Yeah, it was a big point in our life. Growing up in a small town, kind of didn't have a big idea of what happened in the United States, knew what our family did, knew what the neighbors did. And I was in college, and one of our professors said that you need to do an internship. And I said, well, great. I'll just run down the road 3 miles to the neighboring dairy. You know, we raise beef cows. They have dairy cows. It's different. It'll
different
satisfy
world.
Me.
Yeah.
He said, you don't get it. He said, instead, you're going to go to Southwest Kansas to friends of ours.
Yep.
And so I worked with a veterinarian there. I had track to go to vet school so I could be able to farm. Went to a Angus ranch and went to a feed yard. And from there, it grew. Went to Wisconsin in the dairy industry, Missouri in the beef industry, Texas in the dairy industry, did internships at all those places, South Dakota in the beef industry, made connections, learned things, and you have people to call on and rely on when you're in need to be able to teach you some skills and some advice.
Yeah. If you would have gone just 3 miles down the road, you might have missed out on something pretty important in your life.
Sure.
That would be Elaine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got a lot out of those internships.
Absolutely. So, same question to you, Elaine. What are you going to take home?
Yeah, big picture, I think just a ton of new friends and connections that, you know, the advice from older people that we're very new into this business of farming, you can say, and so it's great to learn from people ahead of us and just build those connections of who we can reach out to. So.
You guys, I talk about this, but and I talked about it yesterday, the agenda that the way they've got it set up here at Top Producer Summit, it is dedicated to networking time.
Sure.
As much as it is the guy on the stage or the breakout sessions. Todd, it's unbelievably important to build these kinds of relationships with people that, and okay, now I'll admit, you're in kind of an elite group now with the Top Producer Award winners. But the way that group sticks together and continues to lean on each other for that continual improvement that you're talking about, Todd, it's fantastic. But the same thing happens just from the networking that you get down here.
Yeah, you know, like we were stopping to think, you know, think back of farming, you know, 30 years ago. Heck, we hardly left the township, let alone the county. And
3 miles down the road to my internship kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And now as, you know, you look at, I don't know, percentage-wise is less than 1.5% of the population even involved in farming.
Right.
But that's part of the importance of telling our story. But then part of telling our story is networking with other producers and the importance not only for me to network, but for our kids, our offspring. But I say our kids, but they're our partners.
Yeah.
For them to get in that groove and to start working on the business instead of in the business. So when we come here, we're working on our business. We're here sharpening the saw.
Real quick, we had Rena on the show yesterday with us. Rena,
what an Striegel. Amazing
How
lady.
How important has she been to you and her concepts?
You know, Rena, gosh, she, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's a 10. 10 being the best. She, you know, Chip, at a certain point, what's key in a family is, you know, think of the kids. They take, at what point do they want to stop listening to you as a parent?
Right.
Maybe it's teenager, okay? So all of a sudden, when you're going to run a business, it's important to have that third-party moderator. You need somebody there. You need a safe place. And you, they don't always want to be taken direction from their parents. So it's so important to have operating platforms and a third party to administer this.
Yeah, yeah. Have they bought in? Or do the kids believe they're partners in the operation?
Yes, they are. They That's are awesome. Partners. Yes.
Well, and you guys, what a great example of building a partnership, Brendan and Elaine. It's really cool what you Thanks. Guys have got
Thank
going.
You.
Congratulations to you just on what you're doing. The Horizon Award winner is icing on the cake, but yeah. Congratulations on what you got
thank
going.
You.
And same to you, Todd.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chip.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Thank you guys for spending some time with us. All right. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversations.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
So, this is pretty cool. I mean, just like 2 seconds ago, I get this direct message from a regular listener. He says, you sound like you're having a good time. I might have to get to TPS next time. Absolutely. Get down here to Nashville for TPS because this Top Producer Summit, I'm telling you, I'm going to get home and my batteries will be fully recharged and ready to go. We're going to continue the conversation. Got a couple of finalists in the Top Producer of the Year competition, I guess we'll call it. Chris Riggers and Nate Riggers, Clearwater Farms in Nez Perce, Idaho. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having
Thanks,
us.
Chip.
You bet. You bet. So tell us about the operation out there in Nez Perce.
Yeah, we've raised primarily winter wheat's our main cash crop, and then barley, canola, spring wheat some years, legumes, chickpeas, peas, lentils, and a fair amount of bluegrass seed is grown in our area.
Oh,
too.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Turfgrass seed, it's grown there and shipped all over the world. I think the Olympics in Moscow, the Summer Olympics, there was all the soccer fields were with sod that was grown with seed from the Camas Prairie in Idaho.
Wow.
Is what I had heard through chain, the marketing chain. That
Okay. So talk to a producer from the I-State, Nate, and tell us about how your land kind of rolls just gently out there.
Well, they may have heard of the Palouse region in eastern Washington, which is we're at the southeastern tip of the Palouse, just across the Idaho-Washington state line.
Yeah.
And, the geology there is it's rolling hills, some of them pretty steep. A lot of the equipment's modified to harvest and plant those hillsides.
Yep.
So it's specialized equipment at times. We like to joke that, you know, the yields are so high because we get a farm, every acre is about 2 acres, you know, because it's you get a farm both sides of an acre, I guess is the saying.
Yeah.
In the rolling hills of the Palouse.
Oh, it's crazy. I heard a story about lifting the head of a combine off the ground and bringing the back end of it up. Is that true?
Well, when you go downhill sometimes, yeah, all the weight's on the front. And the guys from Iowa driving combines don't realize that if you just keep lifting the header up, the back end's just going to keep coming up, and eventually the grain starts coming over the gap. So, a lot of times you're steering with the brakes going downhill.
We talk about cab corn. That's a way to get a full dose of it.
Yeah.
Talk about the malt, either one of you, whichever. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, a couple years ago we started. Malt barley's always been a really good crop in our area. We raise just high quality. We just have a good climate for it and geography, and our soils are well suited for it. But a couple years ago, we started selling direct to craft malt houses that have kind of popped up all over the country, and we sell to some local ones in Montana and Washington for their barley for their use, and then we're also having them toll malt, and we're selling a finished malt with our own brand.
With your branding it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you could do something like that. So what has that done for your operation?
Well, you know, our goal was really just to try to add value to a crop in our rotation.
Yep.
The spring crops are tough for us because our rain shuts off about end of June, early July most years.
Sure.
And so that's why we raise a lot of fall crops. Winter wheat, yep. Bluegrass is a perennial crop. That's why it does well. It matures early.
Okay.
But the spring crops are really good for our rotation. They're hard to make money on a lot of years.
Yeah.
And so we just wanted to find a way to add value to a spring cereal to keep that in the rotation and make it profitable more consistently.
Who's your customer for that?
Breweries, craft breweries, distilleries.
They want to be able to put on the label made with Clearwater Farms malt barley?
Yeah, I mean, they like buying direct from the farm. We control the whole process from...
They know the story.
Yep.
And they can tell your story.
Yeah. Unlike other marketing channels, we're unique right now in that we plant it, we grow it, we nurture it, we harvest it, we store it, we ship it, we clean it, and ship it. We control every step of the process. So a malt house is dealing with one, where they're dealing with Chris Riggers, not having to deal with four or five people to say, well, I don't know why the barley was contaminated. I call the trucker.
Yeah.
Or I don't know why it was called the cleaner. I don't know why it didn't make spec. That's not my fault.
This is, yep.
And so they like that aspect of it. And, you know, craft breweries are exploding. It's kind of maybe following the wine industry.
Sure.
Where it became almost a pastime for people to go to wineries and tasting rooms. And we're seeing that happen in the craft brew industry. So they
raise my hand on that one. I love it. Yeah.
They want a specific variety, specific specs for their beer.
Yep.
Which the large commodity malt industry can't really serve very well.
Yep.
And so that's what we're just filling a niche in the craft brewery industry.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, that's the business side of it. Chris, talk about the partnership that you've got with your dad.
Oh, I moved home in 2017. My uncle Steve was still, him and dad were partners still then. So I worked as a full-time employee the first year I moved home.
Yep.
And then Steve retired the year after that, and I'm buying out his half of the operation. And it's been, I mean, it's a wonderful partnership. Dad and I get along great.
Yep.
And it's just been very harmonious and worked out really well. Yeah.
Fairly rewarding there, Nate.
Yeah. If you listened or read about our application in the top producer contest. I was diagnosed with cancer about a year after we started buying out my brother, so that forced Christopher to just take over most of the decision-making.
Yep.
And it worked out really well because, I was ready, and it just kind of forced the issue.
Yep.
But we had a plan in place. It didn't disrupt us too much. And he's just really good at it, so it was natural for him to step in and start taking care of the decisions.
And you still got Dad around for a little advice on the real tough questions.
Oh, yeah, I want him around for a lot longer.
I enjoy the bookkeeping, controller, CFO aspect of farming.
Yep.
So I continue to do that, and then he's not bogged down in the office so much.
It has been fun to get to know you guys. I just want to say that. Thank you so much for coming over here. That is Christopher Riggers and Nate Riggers. They were a top producer of the year finalist. Thanks again to Maristem. Go to maristemag.com. Davis is going to be back this afternoon with Jack Scoville and Sal Gilberti right here on AgriTalk.